Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, this is the Burke Allen Show on WAMS with Billboard Magazine award-winning broadcaster Burke Allen. Interesting guests, intriguing topics, and your phone calls at 718-506-1944. The Burke Allen Show is a presentation of Allen Media Strategies, online at allenmediastrategies.com. Now, celebrating his third decade behind the mic, here's Burke Allen.
Thanks so much for listening. It's a sunny, beautiful spring day here in the nation's capital, and it's been a very monumentous, is that a word? Monumental last 10 days or so here in Washington with the capture and takedown of Osama bin Laden. And we're spending a lot of time on the Burke Allen program this week talking to folks that may have some unique insight into the Navy SEALs and the training and the culture and the leadership that went into that. And our guest today is retired Sergeant Major Matt Drayton. He's now the head of Drayton Communications, but Matt spent almost three decades in the Army, 16 in the elite Delta Force. And there he was responsible for coordinating and synchronizing lots of sensitive government missions throughout the world. Matt is a decorated combat veteran who has agreed to join us on the Burke Allen Show today and give us some insight into things. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being on the program.
Good evening, Burke. How are you? And I'm glad to be here.
You bet. Now, Matt, you focus a lot on leadership with Drayton Communications, and I'm sure a lot of that came from your time as a sergeant major in the military and also into special forces. And I'd like to get your sort of visceral first impressions when you heard that these Navy SEALs had taken down Osama bin Laden. What's the first thing that came to mind?
Well, I'll tell you, Bert, the first thing that came to mind, I'll be brutally honest with you, I was really shocked. It was just, I could not believe it. I had gone to bed that night early, and my wife woke me up to give me the news. I was extremely elated because, as you know, I was on active duty during 9/11.
Right.
And I had the opportunity to get involved in some of the early deployments into Iraq and Afghanistan. And as we all know, a lot of lives have been lost, not only on 9/11 in 2001, but also since that time, in the hunt for Osama bin Laden. So I was extremely happy that we got him, and I was extremely proud that day to be an American and a former soldier.
You know, there's been lots of media attention focused on the Navy SEALs in the last several days, and they're portrayed in many cases as almost superhuman, just the amazing physical conditioning that these young men go through. You were in a very similar situation as a member of Delta Force. What is that training like? Give us sort of a behind-the-scenes peek at what sort of physical and mental conditioning you go through there.
Well, first of all, everyone that is selected to serve in these type organizations are selected. There's a selection process, and these individuals have to go through training, both physical aptitude tests, maturity, and mental tests to be assigned to these organizations. And then once they're there, it's an ongoing evaluation. So there's a lot of training put into the There's a lot of resources put into training these men, and there's a lot of physical and mental training required before you can wear either a trident or a special forces pass. So there's a lot of information that there's just tons of prep work that goes into it. And once you're when these guys are accepted, there's a lot of training that goes on for them to conduct the type missions they do, such as the one that they conducted last Sunday night.
As a guy who focuses a lot on leadership now in the corporate world and is the owner of Drayton Communications, how much of what you learned as a Delta Force member is applicable in the real world? You know, to a fella or a lady who might be listening right now who's in the corporate world, what sorts of lessons can you take away from being in Delta Force and all those years as a sergeant major that apply in the corporate world of 2011?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of similarities in the military and the corporate world. I know the military is portrayed as being extreme on discipline, but there's also a requirement to be able to clearly articulate your goals and standards. You have to be able to communicate effectively. But more importantly, you know, you're asking individuals to go into harm's way for the government and for you. So you have to really be able to put information out so it's clearly understood and have folks be able to willing to go and follow you into combat or into whatever your other missions are. So there's a lot of similarities between the military and civilian life with regards to how we staff things. And just to point out, everything that's done in combat has to start somewhere on a piece of paper. All that has to go through a process. And that process, a lot of time, goes through Washington, D.C. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of drills, it's a lot of meetings and VTCs, just like we have in the corporate world, before decisions are made. And I'm sure this was done prior to the mission to get bin Laden. There was a lot of analysis done, and that's how businesses operate, on a lot of analysis.
If you're just joining us, Matt Drayton is our guest today. He's a retired sergeant major in the U.S. Army and spent 16 years in the elite Delta Force. Matt is a leadership expert now, working on his first book in leadership, and you can visit him online at mattdrayton.com. That's with a Y, D-R-A-Y-T-O-N.com. Also visit him on Facebook at Drayton Communications. We're going to talk to Matt about the special challenges that an African-American faces in leadership when we return on the Burke Allen Show. Hang on.
You're listening to the radio right now. That means you're a radio fan. Did you ever think, I could do that? I could be on the radio? Well, now you can. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com now and sign up for a free online course to help you get your own radio show. Talk shows, music shows, and more. It's fun, easy, and best of all, you can learn in your own home. Find out how. Visit GetYourOwnRadioShow.com today. That's GetYourOwnRadioShow.com. GetYourOwnRadioShow.com.
This just in. Now you can speak your email instead of typing it. It's the revolutionary new online breakthrough that's being called the next big thing on the internet. Video email. It's easy to use, saves time, and you'll be the first to have it. But wait, there's more. You could also broadcast your own live TV show online. Use it for family, friends, or business presentations. Video email and online TV broadcast? How much would that cost? Hundreds? Thousands? How about less than $4 a day? Find out more. Visit GreatVideoTool.com today. That's GreatVideoTool.com. Do it now. GreatVideoTool.com.
Are you afraid of things that go bump in the night? Dark Force, the true and terrifying story of Bill Bean, has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, Coast to Coast AM, and more. Now, Bill Bean shares his amazing story of horror and redemption in his own words. You can own a personally autographed copy of Dark Force by Bill Bean at a special low price for radio listeners. Visit BillBeanBook.com today. That's BillBeanBook.com, and experience Dark Force.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show. Our number is 718-506-1944. That's a free call if you happen to be in the New York City metropolitan area. Matt Drayton is our guest today. Matt, a 16-year Delta Force vet, the elite Delta Forces, part of the U.S. Army, very similar to the U.S. Navy SEALs who took down Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. Matt, the Pakistani government, since you've spent so much time in the Middle East and are intimately familiar with these sorts of operations, how much do you think they knew about whether bin Laden was there? And do we look at these guys in Pakistan now in a different light than we did previously?
You know, Bert, that's a very interesting question. And I, along with some of my colleagues and friends, we have discussed this at length. And I will tell you this. I truly believe that someone in Pakistan knew about bin Laden's location. You can't build a compound that large in Abbottabad there and not have someone know about it. But saying this, the culture in Pakistan is not like America. We kind of leave, they tend to leave people alone. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, I really do not believe that the senior leadership in Pakistan knew about this. Musharraf was on NPR the other morning. I was driving into the gym. And he was being interviewed by the gentleman on NPR, and he sounded dumbfounded when asked about this, because, of course, bin Laden was there for 6 years. That would have been under Musharraf's watch. So I think the government, the larger government, it was just total incompetence on their part. And they're having a lot of problems right now, as you can see in the media. They're asking for a lot of those senior officials to resign.
Matt Drayton is our guest today, Delta Force's vet and 28-year veteran of the military, now the head of Drayton Communications. He works a lot on leadership. And I want to ask you a little bit about leadership, Matt, in terms of you being an African-American and, of course, our president being an African-American. What sorts of unique challenges do you think that African-Americans face when put in charge of people? I mean, here you were a sergeant major in the Army. I'm sure that you had some white recruits that didn't like a whole lot about what you had to say. So how do you overcome that sort of bias that I'm sorry, it still exists in 2011 in a lot of places in the world?
Well, Burke, I tell you, that's another interesting question, and it's an interesting dilemma that we have. I will tell you this. I did face a lot of resistance coming up through the ranks as a squad leader, as a platoon sergeant, eventually as a sergeant major. One of the things, the quickest way to dispel any of that, though, is to show your confidence, to earn trust and credibility from the people that are working for you. Now, there's two ways you can handle that when it comes at you. You can decide to get hostile and try to flex and say, well, I'm in charge, or you can just silently show that you know what you're doing, because what I have found over the years is people will follow you if you know what you're doing. And if you care about them and show that you have the leadership skills required to lead them, they will follow you regardless of your color. And I know we talked about even with the president, I mean, we've seen some things by Congress. I mean, there was a gentleman shouted out at him, a congressman from South Carolina shouted out at him that you lie on the while he was giving a State of the Union speech. That has never happened in society. So there's a lot of cultural issues in our society that we have to overcome. But I'm an optimist, not a pessimist, so I believe that we will overcome those. We just have to, as African-American leaders, show people that we know what we're doing, that we're competent, and that we can lead them, and I think that'll resolve it.
As a guy who grew up in the Deep South, and you spend most of your corporate time now in North Carolina and have traveled all over the world in Delta Force, is it better today than it was 10 years ago?
Well, that's another interesting question. I think it's better today than it was 10 years ago. Clearly, the fact that we have a black president, for me to say it's not, then I would be lying to you. And I say that because, as we all know, President Obama got a lot of white votes. A lot of people voted for him, rather they put it out there that they did or not. But I will tell you, we still have a long way to go. And, you know, I read an article in the paper the other day, and it was written by a local journalist here in Fayetteville. And he said, the best thing we can do right now is stop passing on our hatreds to our kids. If, you know, if you put two babies on the floor right now, a black and a white baby, they'll get along fine. They only start learning these prejudices and these disdains for other cultures when they get older and things we tell them. So that's kind of my take on that, but I do think we're better off than we were 10 years ago.
Time for one more question. And I want to go forward thinking in this. Some of the challenges that you see leaders facing as we, you know, are at nearly the halfway point in 2011 and moving into 2012, the biggest challenges you see for leaders?
I'll tell you, the biggest challenges I see are going to be change. You know, we don't know what to expect. I mean, business doesn't look like it looked 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And technology is another one. You know, we are doing so much remotely now. We don't communicate. I mean, folks sit in their own office right now and just chat each other one cubicle over. So communications, technology, you know, technology forces us to change. We have no control over what new technology comes out. But if new technology does come out and a company above us decides to use it, or a larger corporation that affects our bottom line, then we have to switch as well. So those are some of the big ones that I see. Change in technology. Of course, we've got management, remote management of folks that are not in our office. We have to manage people across the nation. So these are some of the key challenges that I see us facing going forward.
Matt Drayton has been our guest today on the Burke Allen Program, an elite Delta Force member for 16 years, Sergeant Major, retired in the military, and now the head of Drayton Communications in North Carolina. Matt, thank you for joining us. And if you'd like to visit Matt online, his website address is mattdrayton.com. He's also on Facebook at Drayton Communications. Matt, thanks for being a part of the Burke Allen Show today.
Hey, for having me.
You bet. Thank you for your service to the country. I'm Burke Allen in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Thanks for listening. Now go out and make it a great day.